Good morning, everybody. We'll call the meeting to order. That's the meeting of the Home Care, Hospice, and Palliative Care Advisory Council. First item on the agenda after the call to order is the roll call.
Okay. Karen Valber?
Present.
Amy Valla?
Present.
Ryan Bell?
Present.
Rayetta Dominguez?
Present.
Lola Edwards?
Present.
Michelle Fox?
Present.
Jan Slater?
Present.
All present.
All right. So next item on the agenda is introduction, welcome, and of our new member, Amy Valla.
Welcome.
Thank you. Do we want to hear anything from Amy?
Do you want to say anything?
Yeah.
Oh,
so I currently work with Choice Hospice. I've been with them for, I don't even know how many years, a couple of years now. I've been in hospice for over maybe 15 years now in leadership, and it's a passion, and I'm happy to contribute any way that I can.
Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Next item on the agenda is approval of the November 15 meeting minutes, and Rowan sent those out yesterday, the day before that maybe.
I move to approve.
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? All right. We're ready to take a vote.
Karen Valber?
Yes.
Amy Valla?
Yes.
Ryan Bell?
Yes.
Rayetta Dominguez?
Yes.
Lola Edwards?
Yes.
Michelle Fox?
Yes.
Jan Slater?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Motion passes. Next item on the agenda, number 5, is reports from health department programs.
I'll go first. Well, good morning, everybody. Amy, my name is Lindsay Jeffries. I'm with Nurse Aid Registry. I'm the supervisor. I cover all of our nurse aides as well as our home care administrators, our training programs, and all 70 plus thousand of our sweet angels. So for your nurse aid and home care administrator report, just a quick registry count. Everything stayed pretty flat from quarter one to quarter two in our home care aides. Thank you. We have just over 9,500. Our long-term care aides are sitting just over 46,000. And for those totals together to be 55,878. Our reciprocities took a huge downturn from quarter one to quarter two. We had 1,237 for the second quarter. Our certifications by way of training program, traditional testing. I know, Karen, you asked me last time to split this out. So these are going to be, or actually to add the waiver and exception. So for those who went through traditional training programs, we added 1,140 long-term care aides and 645 home health aides for a total of 1,785. New data that I will continue to provide moving forward on the aides that are certified through the training waiver or training exception. We had 9 that came through the exception, 1 long-term care that came through the training waiver. And just so you know the difference on that, for those who obtain a waiver, they are graduates of an RN or an LPN program. They don't have to do testing of any kind. They just make application, provide appropriate documentation, and are added to the registry in whatever capacity or whatever certification they choose. The exceptions are they have had like training that is equivalent to the training program. Essentially, they have the number of hours. A lot of these are LPN students who haven't graduated yet that have gone through a couple of semesters. it's the majority of our trainees that apply for the exception. Those do have to test. So they get to bypass the training exception, but they do have to test to be added to the registry. So that's the differentiation on those two. So we added, we have none that ever come through, say ever, never, don't come through for home health, but we do get a lot of them that come through CMA. So you'll see that we have 6 training exceptions for the medication aid, and we did not have any waivers for the last quarter. On our retesting, we had 7 long-term care, 1 home health, 12 medication aids for a total of 20. So that wraps up our nurse aid, and then with our home health on the back, home health administrators. Is there another page? Did I give you home health at all?
Mm-mm.
I'm not sure home health got it. I'm sorry. So I'll finish on the back side of long-term, of your nurse aid, your approved training programs. There's 163 long-term care and 43 deeming. We did 14 surveys. So Stacy has taken a little, she is flying through our surveys. So she's taken a little bit of a break through the holidays, considering that the majority of our VOTECs and things are closed. So with weather and that sort of thing, she's taken a little bit. So you'll see those numbers decline. They're picking back up for the next quarter. But we had 14 long-term care, 4 home health deeming for a total of 18 surveys. And then on confirmations of abuse, we had 1 misappropriation, 1 neglect, 1 mistreatment for a total of 3. Did I just miss home health?
It's not on the attachments either.
That's not good. Is that something, Dawn, that I could send out for later review, because I will provide your home health up to your home health administrator. I'm so sorry. I can tell you there haven't been major changes from quarter. We will be going into renewals for home health administrators for the next upcoming quarter, so that'll be the big change, but I didn't have anything major. Now I could go print it.
You know what I'm going to do?
Question,
Paula. Yes, ma'am.
Any thoughts on why the reciprocity is down?
So the reciprocity could be down for a couple of reasons. We have come out of COVID, mm-hmm. where there was lots of money provided for people to go, lots of different places. They traveled. So what we found is that we would get folks who would apply for a reciprocity. Remember, in the state, long-term care, there's no charge. So it is free. It's a lot of work on our end, but there's no charge for them to apply. So in that application is digital. It's not something they have to mail into our office. So we would get applications for reciprocities for people who live in New York, California, way on the coast, Montana, New Mexico, things that aren't our neighboring states. And I think the best thing we can guess is that those people were getting a good resume to be able to take and barter for higher salaries, things like that. As all of the inflation of things kind of comes down from COVID, that is my best guess. Is that we just had, and if you look, we had a huge jump in quarter one from even, so the 1,200 is slightly closer to the 16 from quarter four, 16 from quarter three of last year. So it has stayed fairly consistent. Last quarter had a really big jump, and that could have just been Bush. It could have been,
so we don't know that they ever even came to the state or practiced.
We have no way of knowing that. I would say with the amount of nurse aids, the reciprocities that have influxed over the last 2.5 years, they are now, you know, long-term care comes up every 2 years. So we are watching all of those fall off with not being renewed, because even though you reciprocate here, you still have to renew that certification. And we're not seeing
that large number.
It, you know, as we look, because if you look over your certification counts on the registry, it's not, we had a huge jump a couple of years ago where those numbers were just increasingly going up. On my report that I have a number of aides that are certified or eligible for renewal, but are expired. That number is increasing. So they're still showing on the registry because they're eligible to renew, but I have a feeling over this next year, as we kind of get through that 2 year period, those will start to fall off.
Okay.
So my failure on that part, I will provide that home care administrator information to Dawn, and we can, and then I guess if there's questions, we can follow up. I'm sorry about
no,
that.
No, no worries. No worries.
So I can tell you there's not many changes, though, as far as home care administrators
okay.
go, number-wise and that sort of thing.
I do have one more question, Lindsay,
yeah.
if I may. If an individual on the long, you know, is showing as one of these 46,000 long-term care, could that same individual also have the home care aide certification, and so therefore they can be counted twice?
The majority of them do.
Okay. So
yes.
really our number of actual total certified aides is probably less than this 55,878 as far as human bodies.
Individuals, correct.
Yeah.
So that number is counting certifications.
Mm-hmm.
And what, if you were to look at the certification count, for instance, over all of our aide types,
mm-hmm.
for instance, if you have a CMA, a medication
mm-hmm.
aide that has multiple advances,
yeah.
that one person can have 6 certifications.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to
count
as six actual certification numbers,
mm-hmm.
but it's one individual.
Okay.
I have very, very, very few individuals that hold only a home care administrator, and if they do, a home care, a home health aide,
mm-hmm.
and if they do, the majority of them were a home health aide in a long-term care to begin with,
uh-huh.
and then simply did not renew
the long-term care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, if I have one that does not have both, that's usually why.
Okay.
So the majority of home health are going to carry a long-term care also.
So the actual number of aides available to us is somewhere between that 46,000 and 55,878.
Closer to 46.
Probably closer to 46.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Other questions? All right. Dawn.
Okay, as I'm going over these, if you need me to clarify, just yell at me, okay? So our numbers stay pretty much the same, although we always have agencies coming off and coming on and et cetera, new agencies, those that voluntary term and et cetera. So right now we have a total of 540 hospices and home health agencies. And those breakdowns are 23 companion sitter services, 156 home care only, 213 Medicare certified home care agencies, 11 plus 11 deemed for 380. For hospices, 27 licensed only, 84 Medicare certified, 26 deemed for a total of 137. So that's where we are on those numbers. As far as the deficiencies, the top state care licensure deficiencies, clients' rights and responsibilities, 15. Organization, including supervising nurse, personal policies and personal records, is 20. And then clinical records, 8. And also keep in mind the dates. So sometimes I'm trying to be very, very consistent in the data and the dates I give you. And with the exception of, you know, at the end of the year, we may give one total because it's a brand and it gives you an overall. We like to do federal fiscal year because most of us are, you know, deal with federal numbers. So for home care agencies, care planning, coordination, and quality of care, 52. Skilled professional services, 20. Quality PIPs and executive responsibilities, 19. Comprehensive assessment of patients, 15. And patient rights, 15. For for the hospice deficiencies, comprehensive assessment, content of the plan of care, and review of the plan of care. No, there's only one each, and we have not done a lot of hospices this fiscal year. And then for state hospice deficiencies, criminal background checks and medical records, for emergency preparedness, name and contact information, emergency preparedness training and testing requirements, and there were none for hospice. And then for the licensure information, so as so this is one of those ending of the fiscal year numbers. So for January through October, we processed 357 home care renewal applications, 120 hospice applications. And that's it. These numbers will change because, you know, this is February and we're getting close to renewal, and hopefully we have given out good information to prompt people to, you know, submit a complete packet. Any questions?
So you said you haven't done a whole lot of, is it the home care?
Or hospice.
The hospice. What percentage of hospices have you been able to?
I've done one.
Just one.
That's a real easy one to answer.
One out of how many?
So we have 82.
Okay. So you expect more?
So also keep in mind, absolutely. So what we normally do, I'm not going to tell you that. I hate this term, Obamacare, part of that whole package was how hospices are surveyed, so each state is required to do a third every fiscal year.
So over 3 years you get everyone.
Perfect, right. And so at the end of, you know, the end of the third year, there's not, you know, a million that have to be done that have not been done.
And we're sort of finishing that third year.
So, to be honest with you, last year was that third year, and that's the reason. So, every third year, the surveyors have more time to concentrate, like after June, when all the federal work is done, they have more time to concentrate on the complaints and things such as. And I think you guys probably already know something new with CMS is we have not done an initial since 2013. And something new with CMS, if it's been greater than 150 days since approval of the MAC, we will do initials.
So this year will be pretty busy starting.
You know, I'm prayerful.
that's the best you can do.
Thank you,
Dawn. Other questions? All right, next item on the agenda is personal care discussion, consideration, possible action / vote regarding the rule change for the recommendation for competencies for unlicensed and uncertified care personnel. So
can I tell another, we got the wrong agenda.
Oh.
That has been taken off, or rather, there is no discussion.
I was going to say there's no discussion that needs to happen because now there's legislation pending.
Right.
House Bill 371?
In here. And
is it
that
in here?
Takes the place of discussion.
Yes.
With public comment during the last meeting, it was mentioned that this was the compromise and whatnot, so I substituted this bill for the discussion. I know we had tabled the discussion, but there's no need for action
until this
pending.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I might just ask, since I'm in palliative care and all these other areas, does this meet what most of you were hoping for?
I would say the language in here is virtually identical to what we approved here and recommended for rules. So what happened was the Oklahoma Professionals for Home Care, I can never remember the name of that association, but it is the private duty association, was very keen on doing something legislatively. So there was a
collaboration with the Oklahoma Association for Home Care and Hospice, and we essentially gave them this language, and then we had to haggle a little bit over, let me see if it's in here. Yeah, this is actually, I think there's going to be a change before this gets to the House floor to be voted on, because we liked this language that you see here underlined.
Page 5
okay. Is essentially the old supportive home assistant language. As you can see, pages 2 and 3, that all that is struck.
Yep.
So we wanted to eliminate that because that was a non-workable. It ended up with the training, with the testing requirement, it ended up being non-workable. We essentially inadvertently, we didn't, I don't know, it happened. There was created another level of aid because of the testing requirement at the career techs. So that's all gone. It's also overridden by the idea that if you're providing personal care in the home, you don't have to be certified. So what we did between the two associations is we took this training language for the supportive home assistant and plucked it over. But I can tell you, since this version, there was a revision that we did that adds in that the training plan has to be prepared by an RN and that the individual also has to demonstrate competency. That language isn't in this version of the bill.
And you think it will be added after?
I feel certain.
Marcus McIntyre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this ended up being dropped by Chad Caldwell, but Marcus McIntyre is also behind this. And I don't know, in the background or what. The way the legislature works is a little bit of a mystery to me. So, so that language was given to them to include.
And do you anticipate any objection to that? Do you think anyone's going to?
If anybody did, it'd be the Private Duty Association.
Okay. Do you think they will?
I feel like they'll live with it. I do. We left out the number of hours of training, hoping that might get into rules later. They didn't want a number of hours on it, but we felt like 16 from our meetings was the minimum, but we feel like it has to be overseen by an RN.
And you said, Karen, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, but you said that the RN, it would be... it would be addressed by the RN, competency would be checked off by the RN.
This
would be added later.
Yes. Yes, that language has already been given to Representative McIntyre and I think Representative Caldwell.
Okay.
I may have my legislators mixed up, but I don't think so. And that language specifically says, I could maybe pull it up here, but it adds two concepts. One, that the RN prepares the training program, not necessarily delivers
prepares it. Yeah.
And that before being released, that the individual has to have demonstrated competency in all the areas of training.
Okay, that's great. Yeah.
There was also the other change that should be in here. Is there a change where we've got something stricken? Yes, this is something the Private Duty Association is asking for, is that with this...
What page?
Eight.
With this, and actually this language that's underlined that adds the training was actually, this was another problem. That language was inserted after... C2C, that's old language that's talking about back way 20 years ago when AIDS had to become certified and it was grandfathering the old AIDS and sunsetting the provision that they could work with training. So this language was inserted kind of in the wrong place. So we asked them to move it to 2D.
9D on page 8. So that's the other change. But if you look here at 9D? It is 9D. It says that it moves the supervision from monthly to every 6 months. That was not done. That was done by the Private Duty Association. They wanted that to be the same as it is for certified aides. Right now, certified aides providing non-skilled care have to be supervised every 6 months. My personal opinion is I don't agree with that. But and because of this, the aging, oh, what is the name of the aging association? They're opposing this bill
Because of this one paragraph. And what would their preference be?
Monthly. Yeah. And that it stayed the same.
And they wanted to remain monthly.
There was a lot of discussion, and like I said, I'm going to muff up anything that has to do with the legislative process, but there was a lot of discussion about how difficult it would be to make that change now.
Yeah.
And that whether it would be better to wait till next session to try to make that change.
Yeah. So,
or capture it in rules some way that says 6 months unless there's anything going on or this level of care, and then it's more frequent. That it's two ways
that would sort of
could
be compromised.
Fixed.
Like,
yeah.
Well, it says 6 months or sooner if the client experiences a change in the condition.
Right.
Including the doctor's surgery office.
Say that again. Can't hear you.
Well, if you read D, it goes on and gives you kind of an exception if something's going on with the patient that it has to be done more frequent, but it doesn't say more.
Yeah.
How more frequent, just that it would just have to be done.
So if they have a hospitalization or, you know, I would love, if we had to try to recommend rules, I'd like to see the rules say, you know, a very stable ambulatory patient maybe is 6 months, but maybe then the more functionally limited the patient is or the sicker, then maybe it's more often. But so this is, you know, it's just starting the legislative process now. So
could we put on a future agenda update of what ends up being the final, just report to our committee?
I say yes, but Dawn, do you say yes?
I'm talking to miss that. I'm so sorry.
Jan is asking, can we put a future agenda item for the update on what happens with this House bill?
2075.
Legislation. Can we get it up?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
House Bill 2075.
Thank you.
So, long story short, no action needed, nothing to do until this works its way through legislation.
Right, correct. And I believe it was a compromise between the two associations, and I think the biggest thing was the supervisory, the 6 months. I think that was
that's what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what we were saying is that the discussion at Regulatory Committee of the Home Care Association yesterday was either try to fix it next legislative session. We were talking about how difficult it would be to get it changed for this one because it'd have to be changed on the floor.
Yeah.
So, which, by the way, those things are not that meaningful to me because I really don't know what they're talking about. What is the complication of changing it on the floor? I don't really understand that. But either change in the next session or maybe through rules strengthened a little bit. So,
good work.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, so next item on the agenda is discussion, consideration, possible action/vote regarding
Chapter 661 amendments. And
that's the whole thing.
That's the whole same thing.
That was the initial draft.
Okay.
The final was different.
Oh, that's what you're
that's
just
what
now.
Passed out.
Okay. Did
so,
I get it? Okay, thank you. Okay, so that's off the agenda. So never mind. So that is the end of the regular agenda items. There is something I wanted to ask, but at what point is it appropriate to ask it?
Let's just ask during, does it have
comment.
Something to do with this right
no,
here?
No, it doesn't.
Does it have anything to do with the future news?
Nope. it's no secret. It has to do with flu. Flu vaccination requirements.
Okay.
Can we do it in the comments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So next agenda item then is future meeting dates for 2024. And it looks like May 15th, August 14th, and November 13th.
And you guys, we'll make every effort to make sure that it's in a nicer, more conducive place. And this was just one of those snafus that I have no control over.
I don't mind this place. It's easy to get to.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was. Almost a little harder to see what.
Well, if you're going up, where is it? Oh, there.
Yeah, but it's work.
Yes. So this is an FYI from our discussions before about what we can and can't do.
Okay,
so
the rules.
That's helpful.
The rules.
This is really
we always need
this
education.
Is us.
Yeah.
This is our lane right here.
That was helpful.
Yes. Yes. Very helpful.
I had requested last time, and just sort of reiterate it, if we could keep that in our packets every, when the packet comes out, keep those rules just so that we can refer to them. So maybe I could suggest that we not take them home, but just leave them in our binder. Would that work best for you?
No, that'll be fine, because what I did include it with email that I sent.
You did.
But I guess I misunderstood, so absolutely.
I think it's helpful to be able to pull it out when we start wondering if we have the full of each and we have the right thing.
Don can just pull it out and go.
Yeah.
On paragraph two.
Yeah.
So when I start asking, you can say, hey, no.
Okay, we are in agenda item number 8, public comment. And there's a note that says the council is unable to respond.
Just a friendly reminder.
For all of us. Is there public comment?
Mandy had a question.
You guys can't respond, so I don't know.
May I make a something here? Mm-hmm. We can't answer a question, but we could ask for it to be on the next agenda.
Yes. Okay.
So
could I just ask for that to place something on the next agenda? It has to do with the flu vaccinations. I just wanted to know what that process is going to look like to get that word on site removed.
Which was in our last meeting that we voted on that and made that recommendation. Sorry, not responding.
So I'm not gonna answer that question, but I will say you all voted on that to remove it and to recommend that to the commissioner. So that's done.
So as a general process, when the council makes a recommendation, something maybe that's not controversial. Can you elaborate for us what happens after that?
So, yes, I can. So, I like to say that I did not watch Schoolhouse Rock the way I should have. And when it comes to the bills and whatnot, I follow it to a certain point, and then I get a little bit confused on the back and forth. So on something like this, what happens is it does not necessarily, and I think I'm answering right, it does not necessarily go to the legislator. The commissioner can recommend that rule change and send it to the governor to be signed. But give me a little margin of error here, because that may not be the whole process, but it's something like that. So on certain things, that's what, you know, on just a word, that's probably what will happen. It does not happen with the regular session or anything such as.
Oh, it
happens.
Doesn't.
It happens afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So would it be fair to say that a recommendation such as this one that we made in our last meeting might take months to get through the process?
So yes, and even if it did, my thoughts is that it would be retroactive to the 1st of November. If you know, the bills just don't move quickly. There was another legislation that we kept getting questions about, and I kept sending inquiries, when? And it finally happened, and it's like it is with that Office of Administrative Records before we ever know that it's happened. So, you know, it's not that we're not sharing information, it's just like
it's happening in the background and
you have
invisible to you. They're not reporting on a regular basis to you.
And sometimes I feel like the biggest stalker, because believe it or not, I am on it. It's like I'm just kind of, this is probably why you all ended up with this conference room, is because they're tired of me asking for it. Yeah. But anyway, I do ask and I do ask and I do ask, and then sometimes it's like, yeah, I won't stop asking or anything such as, but yes, things are moving in the background, and there's just some parts of the process that I am not intimately familiar with, but I know it will go to the commissioner, and then he takes it from there.
Well, and according to this legislative language for our authority, any of our recommendations are non-binding. And they go to the State Board of Health and the Health Department for consideration.
And right, and remember, there's no more State Board of Health. There is the commissioner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this really isn't up to them.
So the Board of Health was. So there's only a commissioner between the Health Department and anything but interest. Mm-hmm. When did that happen?
So you remember when we had that scandal? I mean, okay, maybe I shouldn't say scandal. Do you remember when things were not kind of kosher?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it happened somewhere around that period.
Okay. Oh, so it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Okay.
And so this was legislation that passed to change that.
That is a good question, because there are so many things that I have a big question mark on. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so why doesn't it say it here? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I'm like a third grader. Why will we understand? And I can't make you understand, because I'm still trying to understand. But it is disband. I don't know if that's the correct word. But it just replaced the commission.
And they probably just haven't cleaned up all the language where it might have been referenced before, would be my thought.
So the order of discussion would be non-binding recommendation from us, State Health Department, and then Commissioner of Health. Is the Commissioner of Health vote the next step up from the State Health Department? Or is it the other way? Okay.
And then wherever it has to go from there.
So it goes, you know, of course, from you all, it goes to the deputy. Mm-hmm. From the deputy, it goes to the commissioner, and then whatever happens there, they do not include me in the process.
But ultimately, the governor has to sign it.
Yes.
And it becomes binding at that point. Okay.
after the legislation is passed by the legislators. Okay.
If you can't comment on this, I understand, but if this, for example, this on-site, the removal of the word on-site, has been recommended, the health department agrees, it's going through the process, can agencies being surveyed expect the survey interpretation?
No.
It won't change yet?
It won't change until it's official.
Until it's official. Okay.
So there are certain things that we exercise a certain amount of common sense with.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do, when we changed the AAO forward, we removed the 50 mile.
Mm-hmm.
It is just common sense that's going to take place. Is it a defendable citation? Yes. Mm-hmm. Would I cite it?
Because, you know,
if I know it's changing next month, there is no way I'm going to cite it.
Mm-hmm.
But could it be cited? Yes.
Okay.
So
we can't give anybody any promises that it will. Okay. That's what I would expect the answer to be. Just want to make sure.
Has the citation ever been appealed if the law changes and no longer moves it in?
So you can't just appeal a citation. You have to appeal if there's been a penalty. And especially if there has been a penalty, some type of penalty that you impose. So no, you
that
can't. You can complain.
A lot of
complaints. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can complain, but there is just no avenue to appeal something like that.
Should I add an item for the next agenda meeting? To discuss the requirements on the
would you speak a little
vaccines.
On the TB vaccines.
Can I speak a little?
Update on vaccines?
Uh-huh. Yeah, to talk about the TB. I've had some other agencies ask me to put it on the table and talk about it and the requirements based off of what other states are doing and different rates.
Okay. In the end, I would suggest we don't discuss it anymore because it really would be violating.
We'll start getting into things
that
we're not supposed to
be. But absolutely, we'll put that on the agenda. And specifically for TV.
Okay. Is there other public comment? And we do not require a vote to adjourn, so great to see everybody. If you tell us, I'll tell you if that's what I thought. Is that on Secretary of State?